This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm on vacation. I'm trying to relax. It's the dog days of August. As many of you are, I'm trying to savor the last few days of summer. I'm here at the beach. I got a house full of people. I'm entertaining. I'm running, biking, swimming, grilling, and, you know, just generally trying to hang out. And yet, there's so many headlines that I really have to rise to the occasion to rebut some of the studies that are coming down the pike. What's up with this? Headlines like this. Instead of taking multivitamins, eat a healthy diet. That's according to a publication called The Times Colonist. This study... saturated animal fat more likely to cause liver damage, heart disease, and diabetes than sugar. And I kind of weighed in on that with a recent takedown of that study in a newsletter article that I wrote a couple of weeks ago. You can check it out at drhoffman.com. There was this dilly, cancer patients who use alternative treatments more likely to die. That's according to the New Haven Register. And a very unfair study that we've had to rebut. We've been doing damage control all over the place. There's even something from the New York Times. Vitamin D, the sunshine supplement, has shadowy money behind it. As if there's an expose about some nefarious plot. Follow the money trail to convince us that vitamin D is good for us. You know. So what is it? Is it Shark Week for health writers? Yeah, this is the time when a lot of people go to the movie theaters to watch horror movies. I can barely keep up. So, you know, come on, guys, give me a break. But yet, these stories cry out for refutation. And the one in particular that I'm going to tackle today, because I got to address it. I got to come out of my vacation mode. To respond to this story, study, a low-carb diet may be cutting your life short. And here's some other lurid headlines associated with this. Low-carb diets shorten your life unless you're mostly vegetarian, study suggests. That's according to a British newspaper, The Independent. CBC News in Canada reports low-carb diets associated with lower life expectancy, study suggests. Science Daily, moderate carbohydrate intake may be best for health. Study links low-carb diets with early death, according to NBC News. And this one from Nutrition Insight, which I believe is a sort of a pro-vegan publication. Low-carb diets could shorten life by 4 years, warns Lancet study. So, what's up with that? Well, the way they're reporting it, it's a refutation of the trend towards paleo diets and low-carb diets and ketogenic diets. I have an article here from yahoo.com. The findings published in The Lancet challenge a trend in Europe and North America towards so-called paleo diets that shun carbohydrates in favor of animal protein and fat.
And by the way, you know, I'm on a paleo diet and I'm not eating tons and tons of animal protein and fat. I'm just having less in the way of carbohydrates, and I'm having plenty of vegetables, and I'm having some carbohydrates too. So it's a mischaracterization of the paleo diet in the media. Proponents of these Stone Age diets, and I'm reading from the Yahoo commentary, proponents of these Stone Age diets argue that the rapid shift 10,000 years ago with the advent of agriculture to grains, dairy, and legumes has not allowed the human body enough time to adapt to these high-carb foods. So they then quote one of the authors, in fact, the lead author of the Lancet study. She says, she's Sarah Seidelman, a researcher at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, a Harvard-affiliated institution, very prestigious. She says, low-carb diets that replace carbohydrates with protein or fat are gaining widespread popularity as a health and weight loss strategy. However, our data suggests that animal-based low-carbohydrate diets might be associated with shorter overall lifespan and should be discouraged. Now, this is an interesting trend in scientific research, is that science in many ways is dull. It doesn't answer some of the fundamental questions of life, like what should we eat? And in fact, you know, if you want to, it's like the devil can quote scriptures according to his purposes. You can find studies on both sides of the dietary equation, studies that are pro-vegan, studies that are pro-ketogenic, studies that vindicate saturated fat and animal protein, and I'll talk about some of those studies momentarily. So science is sort of plodding away, but I've never seen such a trend where researchers are playing to the media. They're trying to do studies that immediately get released to the media in sort of pre-masticated form so that they can go directly to the page and they can create lurid headlines that generate clicks and promote circulation of many failing publications that are seeking eyeballs. The researchers, I think they should be a little more modest about the conclusions of their studies, particularly with this study from The Lancet, which I have to say is, and not just because it disagrees with my perspective, which is I'm a proponent of low-carb diets, not invariably, because I think some people, you know, like myself, I'm very active. I don't have diabetes and metabolic syndrome, high triglycerides. I don't have fatty liver. I can do with a fairly high percentage of carbohydrates. I limit my carbohydrates, but I don't completely eschew carbohydrates. But there's some people who absolutely benefit from a very careful application of low-carb dieting, particularly the very high percentage of Americans who have prediabetes or metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular risk, big waistlines, increased waist-to-hip ratio. These low-carb diets are really working out well for our patients that I've been seeing in practice who need to improve their metabolism and lose weight. And so does this study suggest that, yeah, you know, they may be losing weight transiently, but they're going to die? I think that's the implication here, is that, you know, long-term, if you follow these diets, you're doomed. So let's look at the actual study itself. It's a big study. It was published in The Lancet, which is a prestigious medical journal. And it involved a large number of individuals. It looked at 15,428 adults age 45 to 64 in four U.S. communities who completed a dietary questionnaire in something called the Atherosclerosis Risk in Communities study. It's the ARIC study, A-R-I-C, between 1987 and 1989. And they looked at the outcome measure of whether they lived or died. Okay? So, you know, going over quite a few years, follow-up period of 25 years, there were over 6,000 deaths, as one might expect, in individuals 45 to 64 in 1987 and 1989. What were you doing in 1987 or 1989? Well, if you were 45 to 64, there's a pretty high likelihood that you'd be dead by now because you'd be pretty old. What they discovered is that there was what is called a U-shaped association between the percentage of energy consumed. In other words, visualize a letter U, and the top of the U on the left means a high level of death, and that's in the low carbohydrate group. And then the bottom, at the bottom of the U, where it curves, is the lowest level of death. And then the highest level of death, the U-shaped curve goes up to the right-hand side of the U, and you get a higher level of death with a high carbohydrate intake. Now, we know that from many previous studies that a high carbohydrate intake is associated with a higher risk of disease and death. But the surprise finding in this study is that a low carbohydrate intake was associated with a higher risk of dying. So there are some problems with this, because what they define as a low carbohydrate diet and a high carbohydrate diet is kind of arbitrary and really doesn't represent the potential benefits of a carefully constructed therapeutic low carbohydrate diet. So what they say is that a low carbohydrate consumption, that's less than 40%, that's the upper end of the U on the left, and the upper end of the U on the right is greater than 70%. And in the middle, somewhere around, 55%, 50%, that's where people did best in terms of carbohydrate intake. What they then say, their interpretation is that both high and low percentages of carbohydrate diets were associated with increased dying or mortality, with the minimal risk observed at 50 to 55% carbohydrate intake. And in addition, they say that low carbohydrate dietary patterns favoring animal-derived protein and fat sources from sources such as lamb, beef, pork, and chicken were associated with higher mortality, whereas those that favored plant-derived protein and fat intake from sources such as vegetables, nuts, peanut butter, and whole grain breads were associated with lower mortality, suggesting that it wasn't just the the lower carb, but also the higher meat intake that was associated with risk. So the problem, again, is, if I'm going to construct a low-carb diet, therapeutic diet, for one of my patients, I would say, yeah, you can use animal protein, but make sure you use good quality meat, preferably grass-fed or organic sources of animal protein. Don't use a lot of processed meat, salami, bologna, hot dogs, bacon cheeseburgers, that are made with Kraft cheese slices. Don't use a cheese whiz as your source of fat and protein.
Okay, folks, let's pause now to allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. Here goes. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com
In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
What's interesting is they actually did these dietary questionnaires way back in the 80s, and just a couple of times, and they asked people to report on what they actually ate. Now, if I ask you, tell me what you ate last Tuesday. Can you tell me specifically what you ate last Tuesday? Because it's like, you know, perhaps a week ago or a few days ago. You're going to have a lot of difficulty recalling precisely what you ate. During a period of 25 years, they asked these people on average a couple of times, they did a food frequency questionnaire. And people exaggerate on these questionnaires. They either, they usually try to be more virtuous on these food frequency questionnaires. They may hide some of their food indiscretions. Very unreliable. And studies that are based on food frequency questionnaires are actually considered the lowest value in terms of studies. Now, if you want to really study this phenomenon, you take these people and you lock them up in a metabolic ward and you give them carefully structured diets for 25 years. You'd have to pay them a lot of money to do that, these thousands of people. The study would cost perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars, and probably it wouldn't pass, you know, an ethics board in terms of ethical practice, because locking people up and feeding them one meal or another for 25 years would be considered the equivalent of, you know, a long-term prison sentence. But anyway, that would be a more precise way of determining the effects of a certain diet on people, rather than having to simply recall what they ate. That's a very unreliable way. And they asked them, according to the, you know, as much as I can tell through the study, they administered questionnaires to these people a couple of times during the course of a 25-year study, and they sort of guesstimated what they were eating. So I have a bit of a theory about this, and, you know, why there were more deaths in the low-carb group. You know, these, again, this was done many years ago, and this is before the advent of the modern low-carb movement. You know, Atkins was talking about it in the 80s, but very few people were adhering to it. And they weren't adhering to it in a prudent way. So that the people who were not eating a lot of carbs, you know, basically they were eating a lot of poor quality meat and maybe poor quality diets. And oh, by the way, the fact that vegetarians died less than meat eaters doesn't impress me very much, because they didn't control for a lot of variables. People who are vegetarians generally are more careful. They have healthier lifestyle. Back during the time of the study, I was a vegetarian, and part of my vegetarian regimen was I ate very cleanly, very natural foods. I ate a lot of carbs, but I also exercised a ton, and I had an overall healthy lifestyle. So what you may select for when you look for people with a low-carb diet, to some extent, is people who just don't bother to eat their fruits and vegetables and are basically, you know, having a lot of, you know, Egg McMuffins. Yeah, there's some carbs in that, but then, you know, in the 40% carb allowance, it allows for the muffin and the hamburger bun and the hot dog bun and maybe some dessert. And you know, if you look at somebody who has, you could take two people who have a low-carb diet, and one person is very unhealthy. So it's kind of like a standard American diet. They're not eating a lot of fresh vegetables and fruits. They're eating a lot of prepared meats. They're eating a lot of greasy stuff. And, you know, the carbohydrate content is identical to someone who is intentionally restricting carbohydrates, but eating very cleanly, salmon, lots of low-carb vegetables. And by the way, you know, one of the keys to health and longevity is to have a lot of fiber. And so low-carb diets in this study may be a proxy for a low-fiber diet. We know a low-fiber diet is an unhealthy way to go. So, you know, another way of looking at this And this is something that I said many years ago when I was actually coming from a vegetarian perspective, and I criticized the Atkins diet. And I said, you know, the Atkins diet may work. It's a very low-carb diet. But the analogy is to a samurai sword, a very, very sharp samurai sword. And it may be that you can get the best possible shave from an ultra-sharp samurai sword. But if you don't handle it right, don't handle it very expertly, you can slice your head off. And by that I mean that if you have, say you start from the premise, I'm going to eat Atkins. Yeah, but, you know, occasionally I'll have some dessert, I'll have some ice cream, I'll have some cookies, I'll have... You will be eating an enormous amount of calories because you're eating a lot of fat, and then you add the carbohydrates, and the carbohydrates ignite the fat in terms of its caloric potential, undermine the premise of carbohydrate restriction, which is supposed to help you with your insulin. And, you know, the Atkins diet might be deleterious for some people because it gives them license to eat a lot of fat and meat, while at the same time they're not restricting their carbs enough. You really need, when you're eating a lot of fat, you're applying like a ketogenic diet program to very dramatically restrict your carbohydrates. Otherwise, you're just going to gain a lot of weight and you're going to become metabolically out of sorts. So that's, you know, some basic concerns I have about this. But let's drill down in part two and talk a little bit about some other flaws with the study, and also some studies which directly contradict the conclusions of this new Lancet study, which purports to tell us that those of us on a low-carb diet, we're all going to die. Give me a break. I'm trying to have a summer vacation here. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We'll be right back with part two.